Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I am pretty sure most of you have heard the statement, the pen is mightier than the sword. What does that mean? It means that words can be powerful. As a matter of fact, you can cut a person inside like a knife with the words that you say. But strangely enough, words can not only tear people down, they can do the opposite. They can build people up. Wise words have sometimes prevented tragedy. Words can share love and give comfort to people who are hurting. What are the most powerful words in the world? There's a question for you. The kids had theirs already. It's God's word. God's word is all powerful. It is infallible. And in our reading from Jeremiah today, God says his word is like a hammer and like fire. It can tear down, break up, but it also can build up. It can consume and completely destroy, but it also can be used to refine things. One of the best explanations of the effect of God's word is found in Isaiah 55. The Lord said this. He says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to be empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Today we take a look at God's great prophet, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was called by God at a very difficult time in history. God knew what was going to happen to the kingdom of Judah. And for that reason, he advised Jeremiah not to get married and have children. Jeremiah had a call from the Lord to proclaim the words spoken by God himself, words that were certain to be fulfilled. Jeremiah's ministry started a little over 600 years before Christ was born. And during that, he had the unpleasant task of lashing out at the sins of his countrymen. He criticized them severely for their idolatry, which even included sacrificing children to foreign gods. In some of Jeremiah's predictions or prophecies, as we would call them, were fulfilled in the short term, and others were fulfilled in the long term. But understand this. With all the harsh things he was forced to say, Jeremiah still loved the people of Judah. In spite of their sins, he was trying to help them, and he prayed for them. Even though God told him not to, why would God tell Jeremiah not to pray for him? Well, it looks like God was so angry, he said he wasn't even going to listen to any prayers about it. But along with the sinfulness of God's people, there was another problem, and I touched on it with the young people this morning. There were others proclaiming that they were prophets from God. And they were telling the people what the people wanted to hear. And it was all a big lie. They claimed to have dreams in which they were instructed by the Lord, but their words contradicted what Jeremiah said. People, God does not contradict himself. But what they said was a lot more popular with the people than what Jeremiah was calling for. They were false teachers, passing on their own ideas in the name of God and giving the people of Judah a false sense of security. Yes, there were rumors going around Judah. The rumors were there was disaster at hand. There were enemies outside that could come and destroy them. People were afraid. But the experts denied these reports and rumors. They said there was nothing to worry about. Everything was going to be okay. The people could live as they wanted without any fear of consequences. Ignore the troublemakers. Well, it's very obvious now as you look at history, they were lying. But the people of Judah found out too late that they shouldn't have listened to them. That what Jeremiah was telling them was the truth. And he was the one they really cared about. It's easy for us to look back today and point out the failings of the people of Judah. Their foolishness led to them eventually being overrun by the Babylonians, and practically everyone that was worthwhile was carried off into captivity. Judah was destroyed. They should have listened to Jeremiah. Does that mean anything to us today? Winston Churchill, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, once said this, "Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it." Does this account in Jeremiah have a warning for us today? I believe it does. For in our society today, sin is a word that is no longer in fashion, even inside some churches. Many people don't even believe that sin is real, and we have professors on university campuses, some places, that are teaching them. We are drifting further and further away from God's standards of morality. And even worse, if that wasn't bad enough, many of the children of people who consider themselves Christians don't even know what God's standards are. Many children don't even know the Ten Commandments. That should be easy for you to check, parents. Many children don't know the great stories of the Bible which teach us about the pitfalls and consequences of sin. Many of the children in our society don't even get an hour of Christian instruction once a month. While at the same time, statistics show they watch an average of 3 to 4 hours of television in a day. That's unbelievable to me, but that's what the statistics say. If that's anywhere close to the truth, what do you think is shaping their concepts of right and wrong? We need to do better. And we need to tell the story to other parents. And the problem is not limited to children, of course. The main problem is really with the adults that are supposed to be guiding them. They are often greatly influenced by what society is saying and doing, especially if it becomes the majority opinion. And we can easily give in to the false teachers in our world who give all sorts of reasons for not obeying God's laws. They say things like, "You don't really believe the Bible is literally true, do you?" We can easily condemn those in Judah who sacrificed their children to foreign gods. But what are we saying and doing about our own country that has had over 58 million abortions since the Roe versus Wade decision in 1973? That's over 1 million abortions a year. I have to say here, it's important for you to know that many Christians have stood up and fought against this. And the last 8 to 10 years, there has been a decrease of close to 500,000 abortions. So thank God for those people who are standing up for Jesus and standing up for His Word. They must be having some effect. But here's the problem. Here's the main problem. Our sinful flesh looks for all sorts of excuses to do or allow what the Bible clearly calls wrong. In the midst of false teachings and false teachers, there is one group that must tell the truth, and that is the Christian church. And that is the voice that many people want to silence in today's society. God has given the church His Word. He has spoken to us. We who believe in Him and follow Him are called to stand up for Jesus and to speak the Word with faithfulness. We are to oppose those who are speaking lies. We are to call out sin for what it is. We must warn people that disregarding God's Word will not only destroy our society as Judah was destroyed, but it also destroys people on an individual basis. And this will not be popular with many people. We may be the objects of scorn, but we must do that so people... Why? Why must we do that? We must do that so people have the opportunity to repent and to turn to God. I know many of you, because you've spoken to me and you've written to me, and you're very discouraged by the things that are going on in society today. You must sit back some time and ask yourself, is there any hope for us? There is hope. For God's wrath, even if He punishes our country, God's wrath has a purpose. Yes, God's Word can break down and can destroy, but that's not its main purpose. Through God's Word, we are offered forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. And this is possible because God sends His Word made flesh, Jesus. He is the truth. He is the Savior. He has taken the wrath of God against sin upon Himself on the cross. And by Jesus taking our wrath, we are now forgiven. We need to share that message. Believe it or not, there are many people who will listen. There may well be people within your circle of friends who have had an abortion. There are in mine. There may well be people within your circle of friends who have made mistakes concerning their sexual behavior. There are in my circle of friendships because they have confessed it to me. There may be people in your circle of friends who have been dishonest at times, who have cheated, who have taken advantage of others. The shocking news is God still cares for them. God still loves them. But time is running out for them. You see, you can be angry at someone and still love them. God is still offering forgiveness and salvation. The same word that condemns them can save them. The same word that tears down their life can build it up. And when we are willing to give up the old life of sin, we can receive a much better life, new life in Christ. And a number of our members at St. Mark Lutheran know this is true. Hearing about sin and its consequences is never easy. Preaching a message like this is never easy. But it is life-saving. When we turn away from those things that would destroy us and into the arms of Jesus. Jesus is willing to take all of our sins and grant us forgiveness and give us a new start. So as a Christian church, let us never lose our focus. God's main plan and God's main purpose is not to condemn us, but to save us through our Son, His Son, Jesus Christ. And as a Christian church, that is the main thing we need to proclaim. God grant that we will do that for Jesus' sake. Amen.